Creekside with Don and Jan. Welcome to Creekside with Don and Jan. If you care to live in harmony with nature and the land, and you wish to live more peacefully with all your fellow man, if self-reliant living is a big part of your plan, if you like to talk some politics with those who really can, this is the time, this is the place, Creekside with Don and Jan. Sit right down and make some space, Creekside with Don and Jan. Let's get started right away, Creekside with Don and Jan. No more singing, no delay, Creekside with Don and Jan. Creekside with Don and Jan.
Well, howdy and welcome to another episode of Creekside with Don and Jan. Hi, I'm Don Stover.
And I'm Jan Stover, and this is 195 episodes of Creekside.
Wow, that's we're five away from that 200 mark.
Yeah,
that magic 200.
That's
mark. Right. We don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to have fun when we do it.
Oh, I've got ideas.
Yeah, of course you do. We are actually at a remote location.
We are.
We are in the home of Roxanne Bear,
mm-hmm.
right next door to the office of Terra Mater Botanicals. Mm-hmm. We have had today a marvelous time introducing Claire Ball,
mm-hmm.
and Kent McMillan, both Libertarian candidates, one for the Senate, Kent, mm-hmm. one for Controller Claire, here in Illinois. And they are our down-ticket choices here in Illinois.
Absolutely.
And we have them live.
We do. Yay, folks. They came down for an event that we hosted. The Owl Creek Gazette and the Bonfayette County Libertarians came together and invited the candidates to come to speak at the Globe Theater here in Greenville. And it was a nice turnout. And we just said, as long as we got you down, let's get you live on Creekside. So welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Thank you very much for having us.
So we want to let the audience know, regular Creekside listeners will know that we've had you on before, but we traveled up north and you guys traveled south. We met in Springfield at the Libertarian Convention when you two were vying for the nomination of the offices you're now running for.
Right.
Very true.
You had, Kent, you had two opponents?
I had one opponent.
And you won that by...
I won that by a landslide of 2 votes.
You're welcome.
The check is in the mail, Don.
But I'm bummed.
Either that or a very threatening letter. I haven't decided yet.
We'll wait to see how the election results turn
exactly.
out.
Huh?
Well, I've gotten threatening letters from lawyers before, and I just kind of laugh at
them. Yeah, I just throw them out.
Yeah.
It's just a bluff.
Pretty much. Unless it's got a cord on it, screw them.
Exactly.
Well, the purpose of having you guys down is so many people are tired of the status quo well, I guess not just politics, but parties in general, and they're looking for options, and libertarians have been out there for years being those options, but I think the direction the country has gone and the way people want to reel that back in are opening their eyes to third-party options. So we had you guys kind of explain a little bit how you got into libertarianism and why you chose to run for office. So, Kent, let's start with you and let our listeners know.
I've been a libertarian for close to 2 decades. I was a lifelong Democrat. Grew up on the far southeast side of Chicago, where everybody was a Democrat.
Sure they were.
And my dad was a precinct captain, and we just were all Democrats. If a Democrat was running, that's who you voted for, and that's who got everybody.
By God.
That's who got everybody jobs, essentially. But as I got older and I actually made a little bit of money and realized that other people were getting this money but me, I started looking at options, and I fell upon the libertarians by virtue of the new phenomenon called the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And just looking at some of the things that they valued, namely privacy and property rights and non-intervention in regards to foreign affairs. And I didn't jump a ship right then and there. I got literature in the mail for a couple of years. I sent them a few checks, and then finally brought myself to go to a meeting at one of the local chapters. So it's basically all grown from there. I've been involved with the state party. I've been a state party officer. I've been a county party officer. I've served on the convention committee a number of times, and I also have attended a few national conventions, including one as a delegate chair. So it's been kind of a process, but it's been a lot of fun, and I met a lot of good people, had a lot of good intellectual conversations, had some decent arguments, too. But I think we're all just one big happy family.
I think so.
Well, and you know, it's really nice to hear you say it came from a Democratic background. I think so often people, or at least I hear people think that all libertarians were former Republicans.
Exactly.
And we know that's not the case. You're sitting there a 20-year libertarian.
Right.
So long before it was even possibly considered in vogue to consider a third party, you had already made that jump.
Right. And that says a lot for the libertarian philosophy to go from being somewhat of a liberal Democrat to a mainstream ardent libertarian.
Mm-hmm.
I finally realized that all these things I thought were true and were the case were really not.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, giving people money for free doesn't help them. It actually hurts them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was a wake-up call, and I haven't turned back since.
Mm-hmm. You're still awake.
Still awake.
still awake and going strong.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and then, you know, you got the red pill, blue pill thing. You know, which pill are you really wanting to take?
Well, exactly. Right. Yeah. And as time goes on, ironically, they're one and the same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're getting money from the same donors. I've worked at jobs where folks higher up on the scale, it was incumbent on them to write checks to both parties.
Wow.
By virtue of them being employed there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And somebody's going to win. So you write a check to both guys, and whoever wins, you got your
base card.
You got something coming back. So and neither one of them are small government. At least the Democrats, they claim that they're big government. The Republicans claim they're small government, but obviously that's not the case, because particularly the second Bush with his prescription drugs and his run-up in spending and everything like that,
mm-hmm.
yeah. didn't do anything that Obama didn't do.
What do you think they called him, Poppy?
Exactly.
Well, and I think when what you're saying, they're opposite sides of the same coin. And when I learned that, when I really understood that and saw that with my own two eyes, that was my goodbye to the Republican Party. And I often say, I actually didn't leave the Republican Party. It left me.
And here we are faced with Clump.
Yes.
You know, it's two sides of the same coin.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, let's hop over. And Claire, how did you find the Libertarian Party and decide to embrace the philosophy?
Well, I can say that I haven't been a member quite as long as Kent.
Well, I'm a lot older than you. So I think that's your best excuse.
Yeah, use that one.
You can use that.
Now, I always say my brother Jeff was born a libertarian, so you know. Maybe
I'd like to say that deep inside, I've always been a libertarian,
yeah.
But I was raised in a household where my parents were both Democrats. My grandmother was a Republican. So my mom's view was, well, I have to negate your grandmother's vote. So, which is not a good thing to say to your children. But so I grew up thinking that I was a Democrat, but it didn't sit right with me, the whole idea of taking money from hardworking people and redistributing it. The whole idea of I work hard, so I should enjoy the fruits of those labors, didn't jive with Democrats. So when I started in college, I flipped the coin and jumped over to the Republican side. I said, oh yeah, fiscal responsibility, keeping more of your money, smaller government. I like all of that. But the whole marriage should be between a man and a woman, and that's it. And it flipped from them wanting to be in my wallet to them wanting to be in my bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like that either. And so I was just kind of a disgruntled Gen Xer, I guess you could say, for a while, until I stumbled across Reason Magazine, thanks to my husband, and we've never looked back. Mm-hmm. I love libertarians. It's like, oh, yes, this is what I am. Exactly. And I think a lot of people feel the same way. They're not happy with certain aspects of both sides.
Mm-hmm.
They can see how corrupt both sides have gotten, but they don't have a name for what they are. And a lot of people, they don't know what a libertarian is, but they've heard, goofy people with tinfoil hats. No, that's not me. Well, look a little bit more into it. It kind of is you.
We had a conversation last night with a woman who was interested in libertarianism, but really didn't have a grip on it. And one of the things I said, I told her about the non-aggression principle. And as we talked about, you know, opposing initiation of force or fraud against one individual to another, or government to individual, or government to government, it's like, well, we learned that in kindergarten.
It's called the golden rule.
Yeah. So it was like, well, I've never heard it explained like that. So part of your campaigns, besides wanting to run and win, is an educational opportunity, and I know you guys have traveled across, up and down, back and forth the state.
Believe me, we have.
You've seen Illinois in a whole new light, haven't you?
Absolutely. I mean, you get 2-3 hours out of Chicago, and you really think you're in another world. And that's not a bad thing.
I mean,
the folks in Southern Illinois have been very nice and very accommodating.
We used to, have our own private jokes about people that live south of I-80. There are snakes and dragons down here, and we have them named.
Right. But you can get a case of Keystone for $11.99.
Right. So you can't do that in Chicago.
There are perks.
That's right.
It cost me $100 in gas to get that case of beer. Right?
You always have to be doing something else,
exactly.
Right?
I tell you what, if you win the election, we'll send you a case.
Oh, there you go. Well, that's an incentive for me to go out and shake hands.
Well, I mentioned also not only the reason you became a libertarian, but why you decided to run for office. If you can share a little bit about that.
As I said earlier, I've been a libertarian for a long time, and I've worked on a number of folks' campaigns in some capacity. But it dawned on me one night, I was actually watching, I think it was the South Carolina primary, and I saw all these Republican candidates, close to 20, on the ballot. And I'm thinking, I've been to a number of the state conventions. I can count on half of one hand how many races have been contested.
Mm-hmm.
And we claim we're a political party by definition. We're not a club. We're a political party just like the Republicans and the Democrats. And I'm like, well, I have to stand up. And I have to, I can't just complain about it. I'm going to go up and do something about it. So I never said I was running for Senate. I said I'm going to offer my candidacy. Mm-hmm. If it's something you think you might be interested in, I will do it.
So it's all your own fault.
Absolutely. I just put a gun in my head.
That and the two votes you got from us.
The two votes I got from Dan and John. Where's my checkbook?
Dan and John.
Dan and John.
Did it again.
We get called Dan and John all the time. We just nod.
Did you ever get called Jan and Dean?
Yes.
Yes.
And then you break into song?
Yeah.
Not yet. But
anyway, again, I wanted to set an example, and I really wasn't running to win. I was running to say, come on, guys, we're a political party, which means more people have to get off their you-know-whats
mm-hmm.
and put their name out there. If I can do it, anybody can do it. Somehow I won, thanks to Jan and Don. And actually, Chris Bennett and his wife were there, too. They've been paid back very well. But anyway, so here we are, and I said, okay, well, it took me – there was a shock, believe me. I'm like, oh, geez, I don't know anything about this. But eventually, I got a little better at it. I stopped giving prepared speeches that I was actually looking at. I gave the same speech 3 times. And I said, well, I'm just going to wing it. And I actually got a little more comfortable with that. So mm-hmm. I've kind of grown into the role. I've kind of made it more comfortable. So that's why I did it. So I'm hoping that lights a little fire under other folks in the various chapters. What I'd like to see is, I think Brian said we have about 24 chapters right now. For the next statewide race in 2018, I'd like to see every chapter put up at least one candidate mm-hmm. for statewide office. Let's have 3, 4, 5 people run for governor and secretary of state, lieutenant governor, and bring their credentials to the convention and tell the people there why they are the best candidate. Not, okay, we need somebody for president. John, it's your turn. Bill, you run for treasurer. Let's have contested elections and let's have debates for these offices, just like the Republicans and the Democrats do, because we are a political party.
And it brings a more, I won't say seasoned candidate necessarily, but someone that is running and has already sought the office, so they have that process behind them, maybe is a different way. You had to convince libertarians that you're the right candidate.
You had to start somewhere.
But
right.
The really cool thing, though, is with being a libertarian, you're all rowing the boat in the same direction. To begin with.
Away from government. Oh,
the choices can be so much easier. You're not concerned about ideology. You're not concerned about whether or not there's a choice in whether or not somebody's going to think about A, B, or C in a particular way. We subscribe to the same theories.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody may say, I love Murray Rothbard. Okay, well, so you love Murray Rothbard, but you don't have to have a steady diet of him and still be libertarian. You've got a basic core principle that says
I oppose the initiation against force or fraud. Yes.
There you go. You got it.
So, Claire, back to you. How did you make the decision to run for office?
Well, I got involved, more heavily involved, during the 2014 election cycle in helping out Julie Fox, mm-hmm. who was the comptroller candidate. And I was helping her out, just doing some research for her, because I was a fellow accountant, so I knew the lingo.
You guys stick together, don't you?
We do. I was also a fellow blonde, so come on, we got to stick together. And while she was running around, just going out and doing so much, I thought it would be helpful to do some research and analyze it from the accounting mindset. And in doing that, I just became more and more affronted by the fact that we've never had an accountant in the office. We've never had an accountant actually looking over the finances in Illinois. So that was already on my mind. But then when Judy Bartopinka passed away and they decided to do this special election for comptroller, Julie Fox actually suggested to me, she right off the bat, she said, nope, not doing it again. I've done it enough. But she suggested that I think about running. And I really hadn't thought about it at that point. But she said, come on. I've been working for, at this time, like 8 years. Like, really? They're all way more qualified than I am. And she said, no, you're an accountant.
You're an accountant, yeah.
You're the only one qualified. And I thought on that for a while. And I said, yeah, you know, you're right. I could do this. And so I was unopposed in my bid for the Libertarian candidacy. But I was ready. I did my research. So I was ready if anyone else wanted to throw down and try to run. But it just, part of the whole libertarian mindset is that you don't need to tell me what to do. I am in the best place to speak for myself. Mm-hmm. I thought, well, if I'm not happy with what I'm seeing in my government and I'm not seeing the choices offered that I want, I'll just do it myself. I'm not seeing someone with the qualifications running for comptroller, looking at our finances that I want. I've got those qualifications. I'm going to run. So that's what got me started.
And I think even Julie had mentioned that too when she ran for office, that she was the only accountant that was running. And when you see it like that, that's a wake-up call for people. And again, it's something that we've just not been educated in. If you don't follow politics continually, which most people don't and can't because they have lives, and you know, that's the reality of life. So it's nice that she brought that to the forefront, and you have continued in that same message. And when people hear that said, I think they're shocked more about that than anything, don't you?
They're shocked, or they laugh and they say, oh, only in Illinois.
In Illinois, vote early, yeah. Vote often.
You know. But yeah,
vote when you're dead.
That's right, and keep voting.
But yeah, it's a very easy message to get across to people, because a lot of people thought Judy Bartopinka was wasn't she an accountant? No, her background was in journalism and politics. So no, she was not technically qualified. Not that I didn't think she was a pistol of a lady.
Now, the Chicago Tribune came out in support of Gary Johnson. Now, I remember that I saw you and the two other candidates interviewed by the Trib staff, wasn't that?
Yes, you know, yes, they had all four.
Essentially, WGN Channel 7 Chicago is the mm-hmm. Tribune, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, what was the fallout from their support of Gary Johnson as the presidential candidate? What was the collateral benefit to you as the controller? Controller because I'm kind of old school because I'm
you're going for the technical correct pronunciation.
Yeah. Yes. Comptroller is what everybody sees, but yes. Yeah, controller. What was the fallout from that?
I'd like to say that it benefited me, and we tried very hard to get that benefit. Once they endorsed Gary Johnson, we said, come on, guys, you've got to endorse the only qualified candidate running for comptroller. You've got to endorse Claire Ball. We had a campaign going on Facebook and on Twitter telling everybody, just call out Chicago Tribune, tag them, tell them to endorse me. We had them writing letters to the editor telling them to endorse me, that I was the only qualified candidate. Unfortunately, they wound up endorsing Leslie Munger, the Republican incumbent. Yeah. They did give me a nice nod in the article, which was very nice. They said that I was an impressive and qualified candidate, something along those lines. So it was very, they didn't have to throw that in there. But what was interesting was they said the reason for their endorsement was juggling. They said, because in the office of the comptroller, you have to juggle. You have to juggle various things. And so the next day, I put out an ad where I am physically juggling because I know how.
I saw that. Now it all makes sense.
Yes. So we had line, we had, they handed it to me. So I ran with it. I'm juggling in the video. I don't say a word. And just along the side, we have running on October 14th, the Tribune endorsed the Republican because of juggling. Well, guess what, guys? And there's me juggling. And then it just goes into my qualifications and tells everybody to vote for the qualified candidate.
That's
so
great.
Very cool. Yeah. And so, Kent, sort of the same question to you. Because of, you know, one of the nation's foremost major newspapers endorses a Libertarian candidate for president, did you get any benefit out of the downside of that?
I got what the little boy shot at. Which, if you don't know what that means, it means nothing. where that comes from is an old Cubs score, where in their bad times they would say, well, the score is the Dodgers 4, the Cubs what the little boy shot at.
Okay.
Which basically means nothing. No, I did not get, unlike Claire, where she got to sit down with her opponents, I got about a 20-minute phone interview with one of the editorial board members. And that's where it ended. Neither myself nor Scott Summers, the Green Party candidate mm-hmm. for Senate, even got a mention
wow.
in their long, winding endorsement for Tammy Duckworth. So, obviously, I wasn't happy with that. Obviously, they have no legal you can even say they have no moral obligation to put every candidate. But I think they're doing a disservice to their readers.
They really are.
By not telling them who all is out. Even if they said something bad about me, that would be probably better than not saying anything. So I was a little surprised, but you know, it is what it is. Maybe they didn't want anyone else in on the soap opera that is Duckworth and Kirk, because it's gotten to be somewhat of a mini version of Hillary and Trump. None of their ads really say what they want to do in the next term mm-hmm. in office. One was Mark Kirk saying he's recovered from his stroke and he's ready to get back in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Another one said Mark Kirk lied about his military record. Another one said Tammy Duckworth is a hero, but she's an awful public servant. Now, which of those ads are most likely to get you convinced that they're going to reduce the national debt?
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's and at the end of each of those messages, they say they support that. They support this message. Well, I couldn't sleep at night if mm-hmm. I supported a message that said my opponent was a terrible public servant. I might have something to say. I disagree with them on health care. Mm-hmm. I disagree with them on immigration and let the voters decide. But it's just been one ball of mud thrown after another by the two of them.
Yeah.
And now there was also a debate in Champaign, is that correct?
There's one coming up in Springfield this week.
Oh, Springfield.
And obviously, okay. Summers nor myself were invited to the debate. Mm-hmm. So, who's ever putting on that debate is, again, doing their listeners, readers, subscribers a disservice by not allowing.
Is it the State Journal Register? Is it Channel 20 or
it's,
something?
It's the Springfield paper. I mean, okay. Both Summers and I, as Claire and her Green Party colleague, we collected twice as many signatures as Kirk and Duckworth did. Mm-hmm. And we're on the ballot in every county in this state. But yet these media outlets mm-hmm. are not recognizing us to mm-hmm. the point where they would include us into the debate.
Now, Kirk is actually was a St. Clair County native from around Lebanon, was he not?
That I do not know. I know he lived in Highland Park. Oh, which is a North Shore suburb, but I actually don't know where he's from.
Okay, all right.
Well, and something else, you talk about the newspapers and the media that won't cover libertarians or greens, and I know you run into this all the time. What we're seeing, especially with our readership and our listenership, if that's a word.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's a good word.
The younger, the millennials that so many people have trouble with, we actually see them as embracing alternatives. And they're
not being counted in polls.
Well, yeah, and they're not CNN is not their go-to news source. So as that wanes, we said, you know, next election cycle or the time after that, those people, we almost look at those kinds of things as dinosaurs in the effect they're going to have. They're going to go by the wayside because our kids and all their friends do not get their news in any fashion that we used to.
Right.
So they're going to do themselves their own damage. Right. I think they're going to come, they'll see their demise faster by not recognizing that people want more information, and they're going to find it regardless if they get it from those newspapers.
Well, now, you and I are both products of that newspaper endorsement era. You know, we're we're that old, and we sorry, but that's fact. We were tickled to death whenever we found that the Richmond paper in Richmond, Virginia was endorsing Johnson, and then to have that follow up by the Chicago Tribune. We're finding, we're seeing through what we see on CNN and Fox and NBC that those things don't mean as much anymore. And I suppose it is because, like you say, it's because of the news delivery system that's being overlooked by the pollsters. Are you guys ready for a libertarian landslide? Because I can see that coming.
There's a long pause in the room.
Well, I would welcome it. I am hopeful about it, but I'm an accountant, so I'm also very
you're
going to
look at the numbers.
I'm going to pay attention to the numbers. Let's just say that I'm running this campaign. I'm hearing a lot from people who are incredibly frustrated and fed up with their two-party system. People who have taken my card and been like, well, you're not one of these, one of the two yokels already in there, so that already gets you ahead. So I'm really optimistic about it.
Good.
Do I see myself, you know, having to move down to Springfield anytime soon? Not quite, but I'm ready if I have to.
Well, you know, there's a lot to be said about, you know, positive vision.
Yes.
So
let's
give you,
do it.
Give you a nickel's worth of advice. You'll have to give me a nickel for it. Get your butt ready.
Well, and negotiate down to 3 cents.
Well, yeah, I know.
Well, and speaking of that landslide, like you said, we've talked to so many people that are voting for Gary Johnson, and then of course in Illinois, they have wanted to learn more about you guys, which we've been happy to share in the magazine and on the podcast. But it's been cool to see them step up and say, "Wait a minute, I'm ready for a change," and willing to put your yard sign out. There's absolutely a, you know, difference, yeah, between that. I think I'm going to secretly go vote for you, and now I've got you in my yard. So
we'll take both.
Exactly. I know. It counts just the same, doesn't it?
Sure.
But it's nice to have that more outspoken, to have that chance to do that. So one thing before we close.
Well, no, I want to make sure that we leave some time here for a takeaway from both candidates.
Okay. I wanted to mention, you had said, Kent, that your goal is not to run. If you run and win this time, you're obviously running, your goal is not to run again. And you had a great line.
You're one and done, right?
Yeah, one and done.
One and done, and if I am elected, there's a couple. If I am elected and I'm forced to run again by any circumstance, since I never vote for incumbents, I will not be voting for myself. And the other one is, my goal is to turn the keys over to a younger, smarter libertarian, which in my case will not be very difficult.
Is that just because you're running anyway in the first place, right?
Yeah, exactly. I can say anything I want.
But I'm both. Give us a, Kent, walk us out of here. Tell us the reason to vote for you.
Yeah, you have to kind of look at where our country's at and who got us there. We obviously have a ton of debt. We have endless wars. We have a Social Security and Medicare system, which are both messes, and a federal government that just has grown exponentially and is costing us all money. And like I said, we talk about the wasted vote syndrome, and they say, well, voting for a third party is a wasted vote. So take that premise and conclude that voting for a Democrat or a Republican is a non-wasted vote. Well, this is what you've gotten for your non-wasted vote, all these things I just mentioned. So, you know, if you're happy with that, then maybe keep going. Vote for a Democrat or Republican. But if you want to change and you want someone who wants to reverse the course of the size of the government, consider voting for me and any other libertarian that you see on the ballot.
And is there a way that they can find out more about you?
Absolutely. The website is kent4.com. So that's Kent4, I'm sorry, let me get that again. Kent4Senate.com. Kent4.com. The reason why it takes long is because I have to actually say the number 4. Because if I say Kent 4, they're gonna think it's F-O-R. F-O-R.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I have to say the number 4, and then I forget to say Senate. So it's Kent4Senate.com, and that'll get you to my Facebook and my Twitter as well, because it's all the same thing. Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Mm-hmm. Claire?
I'd like to say thank you to all of your wonderful listeners. Thank you both for having us on.
It's our pleasure.
For anyone who's still on the fence, look at it this way. You wouldn't see Google hiring a lawyer to look over their books, and you shouldn't see anyone running for comptroller without that financial background that is required anywhere else. I am the only accountant running for this office. If elected, it would be the first time an accountant actually looked over the finances in Illinois in history. Look beyond the connected. Look beyond party affiliation. Vote for qualified and not connected. You can find out more from me at Claire Ball for Illinois, and that's 4, not the letter. ClaireBallForIllinois.com. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter, Claire Ball for Illinois at both. And thank you again for having us on.
Thank you. Kent, thanks for joining us and coming all the way down. And Claire, you too. And we'll hope to have you back on after your, like I said, in between the election and your inauguration.
Always a pleasure to see my two good friends. Thank you so much. Kent.
Thanks to both of you for being on Creekside with Don and Jan. And it's been fun.
It has been fun. Yeah, it's always fun.
And thanks
to
Roxanne Bear for the opening of her house to our podcast. And make sure that you come by Terra Mater Botanicals. Roxanne, you're in the background. What's the address? 403 East College, Greenville, Illinois. Come on in, and she's got the herbs for you. Y'all take care now.
Good night.
Bye-bye.